بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the tafsir of Surah Al-Asr, Surah Al-Asr, regarding which Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimullah, he said, لو ما أنزل الله على خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم. Had Allah not revealed upon His creation except this surah, Surah Al-Asr, then it would be sufficient for them. And in this lesson we come to the next surah, which is Surah Al-Humaza. And this is also Surah Makkiyah, and it contains 9 ayat. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins by mentioning or rebuking a particularly evil characteristic. This surah, Surah Al-Humaza, Allah begins it by rebuking them. He criticizes a particular evil trait. And that is the trait of insulting and mocking and laughing at other people. He said, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. These words. And wail is a type of rebuke. It is them. Allah is saying, woe be upon who لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Upon every person who does hums and lums. And hums and lums, they have a similar meaning. It means to mock or belittle another person. Al-istihza. And there's a difference between them. Some of the ulama, they mention, what is the difference between al-hums and al-lums? So they said that as for al-hammaz, then he is the one who insults people with his speech. He says bad things about them. And as for al-lammaz, then he is the one who mocks other people through his actions. So maybe he winks regarding a person or makes a hand gesture regarding somebody else and mocks him either way. So al-hams is when the mocking and the belittling is done through a person's statement, and al-lams is when it is done by a person's actions, either by how you look at somebody or wink at somebody or laugh at somebody and like this. And other ulama, they mentioned that al-hams is when somebody is mocked in front of their face, and al-lams is when somebody is mocked behind their back, and differences like this. But the general meaning of the ayah is, woe be upon those people who mock and insult and criticize belittle other people, whether it's through a person's actions or through a person's statements. And subhanallah, the number of ayat and the number of ahadith which we have with regards to this evil trait are many. The prohibition of backbiting and an-namima, slandering, and causing fasad upon the earth, and dividing between people. All of this, we find so many ayat and ahadith regarding it. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Sabbul Muslim fusuq wa qatluhu kufr." That insulting another Muslim is fisq. It is open, clear disobedience to Allah. Wa qatluhu kufr. And killing him is a type of kufr. And Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرُ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَانْ يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. In Surah Al-Hujurat, he said, O people of Iman, let not one group of people mock and belittle and joke at the expense of another group of people. Perhaps they are better than them. And this also includes nations. So a person from a particular race or nation or a nationality mocking another race or another nationality, this is something which Allah has forbidden in the Quran. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the companions, "Atadruna manil muflis?" Do you know who the bankrupt person is? And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, al muflisu fina man la dirham lahu wa la dinar." The muflis, the bankrupt person, according to our understanding, is the one who doesn't have any money left, no gold and no silver. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "No, this is not the muflis. Al-muflisu man ya'ti yawm al-qiyamah." The muflis, the bankrupt person, is the one who comes on yawm al-qiyamah. Ya'ti bi-sadaqah, wa-siyam, wa-salah. And on yawm al-qiyamah, he comes with many good deeds. He gives much in charity, much fasting, prays many nawafil. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَلَكِنْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا. But he has insulted this person and spoke against this person and hit this person. So then what happens? His good deeds are taken from him. All of these salawat and sadaqat and this siyam and everything which he did, all of these deeds are taken from him. And they are given to this one and this one and this one. The people who he belittled and swore at and insulted, his good deeds are taken and given to them. And then when his good deeds are finished and he has no more good deeds left, then on top of this, Allah takes the sins of those people and throws it upon him. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam wa al-afiyah. And this is al-muflis. This is the one who is truly bankrupt. So the point is that there are many evidences, many commands, many prohibitions in the Quran and the Sunnah, in our beautiful religion, which forbid us from this type of behavior. Whether it's insulting another person, insulting another believer, whether it's mocking a nation, it's not allowed for us to mock a nation, generalize statements. And it becomes even severe, subhanAllah, when it is a Muslim woman who is being belittled or accused of something. And this is called al-qadf. The meaning of al-qadf is to throw an accusation against another person, specifically another believing woman. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this from the seven major destructive sins. He said, "Ijtanibu as-sab' al-mubiqat." Stay away from the seven major destructive sins. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. From amongst them, he said, one of the seven major destructive sins is قَذْفُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُحْسِنَاتِ. That a person accuses a decent, moral, believing woman who is chaste and she has modesty, accuses her of فَحْشَى and zina and so on and so forth. So all of this has come in our Sharia. Then Allah said, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ. And woe be to that person who collects wealth and counts his money. And this ayah, it isn't rebuking a person gathering wealth and counting money and being careful of his finances. But the meaning or the objective of this ayah is clarified in the next ayah. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. That he is the one who thinks that this wealth which he is counting, it will give him eternal life. That he will remain upon this earth forever. So gathering wealth, accumulating wealth, and counting money in of itself, it isn't something which is looked down upon. In fact, it is something which is encouraged if it is done with the right niyyah. So if a person works hard in earning money and gathering money and saving money, and he does it so he can eat from halal and he can provide for his family from halal, and he can fulfill the obligation towards his parents, towards his kingship, towards his wife, his children, which Allah has obligated upon him, then this is a sadaqah for him. And it is an act of worship. But if a person does it, and he gathers all of this wealth, and then he forgets about the akhirah, and he eats from haram, then it is rebuked. And this person who spends all day gathering the money, and then all night counting the money, Allah said, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He thinks that this wealth which he has gathered and he counts, it will keep him upon this earth forever. He thinks that nothing will be able to touch him. And this is what Shaytan, this is what Iblis alayhi la'natullah, this is what he came with to entice our father Adam alayhi salam and his wife. He said, when Allah ordered them not to eat from the tree, and this was just a test for them, don't eat from the tree as a test. And he came to them and he said, وَمَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ, that your Lord has not forbidden you from eating from this tree. Why? إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Because if you eat from this tree, then you will either become angels or you will be able to live forever. You will be able to live upon this earth for eternity. And this is why your Lord has forbidden you from eating from this tree. And this same trap which he enticed Adam alayhi salam with, this is the same trap and the plot which the people fall into today. That they neglect the akhirah and they chase after the dunya and they count their wealth. All day they work and all night they worry about working. And they think that this will make them live upon this earth forever. And Allah says, Kalla. In the next ayah, he said, Kalla. Never. Kalla. La yumbadhanna fil hutama. Kalla. Never. It isn't like these people think. Rather, la yumbadhanna fil hutama, that they will be thrown into al hutama. And al hutama is one of the names of the fire. Al hutama, it is one of the names of the fire. لِأَنَّهَا تُحْطِمُ مَنْ فِيهَا, because it will break up and crush those who are in it. Allah said, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ, and what will make you understand what is الْحُطَمَةِ, نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ, it is the fire of Allah which is fueled. It is always fueled. It will never run out of fuel. الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ, the fire which will burn the people to their hearts. And then when the person is burnt, نَسْلَى السَّلَامُ الْعَافِيَةِ, then they will be given the body again. And they will be burnt again. And then their body will be recovered as it is. And then they will be burnt again. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةِ, it will be upon them. فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَةِ, supported by columns. Or it has many gates into the fire. So in this surah of the Quran, there is a severe rebuking against those people who mock other people and insult other people. And pay attention, my brothers, not just by statement, even by the look of an eye. Because we said the difference between humaza and Lumaza is the one who does it by an action. So looking at a person, winking at a person, dismissing a person with your hand, all of this comes under this ayah. And look at these punishments which are mentioned regarding a person who does this. And also the person who neglects the akhirah because of chasing the dunya. And then we come to the next ayah, which is Surah Al-Fil, Suratul Fil. And it is Makkiyah. It was revealed in the Meccan period, i.e. before Hijrah, and it contains five ayat. And this surah, Suratul Fil, it has been named the Surah of the Elephant because it relates to a particular story. And the Suratul Fil, there was an army from Habasha, from at that time what was known as Habasha, which is today Ethiopia, Eritrea, some of Sudan, that type of area. And there was a king there called Abraha al-Najashi. And by the way, al-Najashi, this name, it is the title which is given to the king of Habasha. So it wasn't one particular person. Al-Najashi, it wasn't only that man who the companions made hijrah to and then he accepted Islam. Al-Najashi, it is a general title for every ruler who came from Habasha. And this particular ruler, his name was Abraha, and he wanted to enter into Mecca to destroy the Kaaba. So he didn't go to Mecca to fight or for war or to loot the land, plunder the land. He only went to destroy the Kaaba. He didn't go to fight its people. And he gathered a great army, a big army, and he took with them elephants. And the reason why they took elephants is because the Quraysh and the Arabs of that time, because they lived in the desert, they didn't know what an elephant was. So when these great gigantic elephants would come, then the Arabs would become scared. They would hear the noise of the footstep and this great animal and the voice that it has. And then they would fear it because they've never seen an elephant before. And they, as I mentioned, they only came to destroy the Kaaba. So Allah said, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Did you not see what your Lord did with the army of the elephant? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ. Did he not use their plot against them? Did he not use their plot against them? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. And he sent upon them طَيْرًا, birds, أَبَابِيلَ, in flocks. Meaning flock of birds, after flock of birds, after flock of birds. Different types of birds, all of them coming to attack them. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. And he sent to them birds in flocks. Different flocks of birds, different types of birds. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. And these birds, they pelted stones at this army which was with it, an elephant. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. And then he made that army like an empty field of stalks. This is how it is translated. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. The point is that this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses the Quraysh. And he says to the Quraysh, O Quraysh, remember our blessing upon you. When that army came from Habasha, and it was a great army with large numbers and with an elephant which you have never seen before. And they didn't come to fight you or take your wealth. Rather, they came to destroy the Kaaba. And you were weak in front of this army. You had no ability in front of this army. They were only the Quraysh of Mecca. So, and then Allah aided the Quraysh over them. It's as if Allah is saying that we did not aid you over them and we did not destroy them because you are better than them. Rather, we destroyed them to protect the sacredness of the Kaaba. And then after this, in the next surah, which is Surah Quraysh, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions another blessing upon the Quraysh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. And the meaning of لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ, أي لِإِئْتِلَافِهِمْ وَاجْتِمَاعِهِمْ. That how amazing it is, by the grace of Allah, that the Quraysh, they have come together. This is one of the blessings of Allah, that he brought these people together. إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. And the journeys which they take. The journey in the winter and the journey in the summer. رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ. In the winter, they would go towards Yemen. They would go south. Because the south is warmer, because the south of the Arabian Peninsula is warmer, so when the winter came, then they would go to Yemen or they would go south in order to do their trading. And as for the Saif, the summer, because the weather is very warm in Mecca and the south, then they would go towards the north to Sham and Syria and these places because the weather is cooler. And this was how the Quraysh, they would trade. So in the summer when the weather became very warm, they would do their trading towards the north, they would go to Sham. And in the winter when the weather was cold, then they would go south towards Yemen and they would do their trading there. Allah said, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. If you realize these blessings of Allah upon you, that in the first surah He protected the Kaaba and He protected Mecca and He protected you, and in this surah He brought you together and He allows you to travel in the lands, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Then worship the Lord of this house. Don't worship the Kaaba itself. Don't worship the idols around the Kaaba, but worship the Lord of the Kaaba. And of course the Quraysh, even though they were mushrikun, even though they were people of shirk, they should know regarding the sanctity and the sacredness of the Kaaba. In fact, the days of Dhul-Hijjah which are coming, and the months which are Hurum, the months which are sacred, they knew the sacredness of these places and these times. And so Allah used this against them. That if you know and you appreciate the sanctity and the sacredness of the Kaaba, then upon you is to worship the Lord of the Kaaba. Why? الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. Because He is the one who has fed them and they are hungry. In this valley in Mecca, where there is no tree, there is no water, there is only stone and mountains and desert, yet Allah brings for them food, and Allah brings for them water in the form of Zamzam, and He feeds them. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And how Allah has protected them from all fear. And this is something which Allah mentions over and over again in the Quran, when He mentions His blessings upon the people to remind them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ. We finish with this. My beloved brothers and sisters, the only thing which remains is just a reminder regarding these next few days which are going to come to us. And they are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. As I mentioned in this lesson, the Quraysh, and they were people of kufr and shirk. يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. They disbelieved in Allah, they disbelieved in the Messenger, they disbelieved in the final day. They fought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They fought against him. However, despite them being kuffar and mushrikun, they still knew the sacredness of these days. So they used to respect al-ashhur al-hurum, and amongst them Dhul-Hijjah. And they used to know that these are special days. And they used to know that no dhulm should be done in these days, and no wars should be fought in these days. So if that was the state of the people of kufr and shirk who fought against Allah and His Messenger, then the people of Iman, the people of Islam, the people of Tawheed and righteousness, and the people of Taqwa, we should know more about the sacredness of these days. And today, if I'm not incorrect, it is the 27th of Dhul-Qi'dah, Wallahu A'lam. Meaning next Tuesday or Wednesday, the first of Dhul-Hijjah, it starts. And these days are from the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are from the most beloved days to Allah. If we don't say it is, they are the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in the Quran, Allah mentioned their virtue. He said in the surah which all of you have read and perhaps memorized, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. I take a qasam, I take an oath, I take a vow by Al-Fajr, the morning period. وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. And I take a vow and an oath, a qasam by لَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, the 10 nights. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and the majority of the Mufassirun, they said لَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ أي عَشْرٍ ذُلْحِجَّةٍ, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He only takes a vow by something in the Qur'an to show how important it is. The Mufassirun, they say, تَشْرِيفًا لَهَا وَتَعْلِيَةً لِشَأْنِهَا, to show how honored these 10 days are and to raise and elevate the status of these 10 days. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِيهَا مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ. There are no other days in which righteous actions are more beloved to Allah than these days, meaning the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, will jihadu fi sabilillah, even al-jihad fi sabilillah, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, any action which is done on any other day, it is not equal to the action which is done on the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So if a person, for example, prays raka'atain in the other days of the year, and another person prays the raka'atain in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the raka'atain which he prayed in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are greater in reward and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than doing in any other day. Unlike this, sadaqah and nafal fasting and dua and istighfar and so on and so forth. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, what about al-jihad fi sabilillah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, walal jihad fi sabilillah. Not even al-jihad fi sabilillah. Illa, except rajulun kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi. Except a person who leaves his lands, physically he leaves and he takes all of his property and his wealth with him, and then he fights al-jihad fi sabilillah, thumma la yarji' min dhalika bi shay. And then he does not return with anything, meaning he dies in the path of Allah and all of his wealth goes in the way of Allah. This person, his actions are more beloved to Allah. Apart from this, then doing the righteous action these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are beloved to Allah Jalla fil Ula. And therefore, the people of taqwa are those people who, when an opportunity comes to do righteousness, then they do it. So being a person of taqwa, it doesn't mean that every single day your iman and your ibadah is going to be up there. Yes, some days it will go down and some days it will go up. But when certain opportunities come and certain days come in which the pleasure of Allah can be attained and Allah forgives the people and He mentions how pleased He is, then the people of taqwa, they seize that opportunity and they utilize that opportunity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sunnah of the Muslims from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam up until our time is that when these first 10 days of Ramadan come, their righteous deeds increase. And from the righteous deeds which a person can do is fasting the first 9 days, because the 10th day is the day of Eid, so the first 9 days fasting it. And this was the action of the companions and the fuqaha of all of the lands from amongst the Salaf, that they would fast the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. And also all of the other righteous actions in terms of making dhikr and reciting of the Quran and making dua. And if a person has a high aspiration and a strong determination and he wants to finish the whole Quran in those first 9 or 10 days, then he is able to do so. Then Allah makes it easy upon him. But all he requires is a strong determination and dua to Allah. Also, from the actions which are recommended in these 10 days is making a takbir. All throughout the 10 days, making a takbir. Meaning a person says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. And these takbirat, they are made throughout the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah without any restriction. Meaning in any place, in any situation, in any time. So whether you are at home, or you are in the masjid, or you are in your car, you're traveling, you're sitting, you're standing, you're in wudu, you're not in wudu, male, female, young, old, always making these takbirat. And raising your voice in making them so other people are encouraged to also do it. So much so that it is narrated Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he mentioned in his Sahih that Abu Hurairah wa Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma kanu yakhrujani ila as-suq, that both of them, they would go out to the market. And then they would make takbir. This Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa wa yarfa'una aswatahum. And they would raise their voice when they make takbir. Why? To encourage other people to make a takbir. And he mentions, and then other people, they would make takbir from hearing them. What is not allowed, and this comes under it being an innovation, we are not allowed to restrict these takbirat to a particular time. So for example, a person cannot say that after every fard prayer, make 3 takbirat. And after every nafl prayer, make a single takbir. This has not been found in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, any time, all the time, a person makes takbirat. Secondly, what is not allowed is making a takbir al-jama'i, meaning all of everybody together in a single voice, everybody making it. So the imam says it, and everybody says it behind him. This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, the imam can raise his voice to encourage the people, but everybody says it within themselves and out aloud. And also any other righteous action, from giving sadaqah and ordering with righteousness and forbidding evil and all of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and we finish with this, He didn't only praise the believers who do righteous actions. He praised those believers who rush to do righteous actions. There's a difference. A person who does a righteous action and a person who rushes to do the righteous actions, Allah praises those people. Those people who are quick and hasten and they rush to do the righteous actions. He said in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Go quickly to the forgiveness of your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ, and go quickly to the paradise of your Lord. عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And the width of this Jannah is greater than the width of all of the skies and all of the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. It has been prepared for those people who have iman in Allah and His messengers. In another ayah, Allah said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Rush, be quick, hasten to the forgiveness of your Lord and the paradise which is as wide as the earth and all of the skies prepared for the people of At-Taqwa. In another ayah, Allah said, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Those people who have iman in Allah on the final day, and they order with righteousness, they encourage people upon righteousness, and they forbid evil, وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, and they rush to do righteous deeds. So therefore, when we have with us these types of days and they are coming up, then the believer starts preparing himself and prepares his family and prepares his children. And those who have a responsibility in the masajid, prepare your community and your masajid by words like this, encouragement like this, going through certain benefits regarding the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to do righteous deeds. Allahumma allimna bima ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه والله أعلم. صلى الله على نبينا وسلم.